ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. More than a million people have fled their homes in the Gaza Strip over the past week as water supplies dwindle and hospitals warn they're on the verge of collapse. This is as the enclave's population awaits an expected invasion. ABC's Matt Gutman on Israeli troops readying near the Gaza border.
They have troops arrayed all over the place. It's hundreds of thousands with many hundreds of Bradley fighting vehicles, tanks. There's artillery planted in almost every field, soldiers behind almost every concrete block.
Inside Gaza, food, water, and fuel are scarce. Aid agencies are pleading for a humanitarian corridor to open to let people out. Here in the U.S., authorities in Illinois say the war between Israel and Hamas appears to be behind the stabbing death of a 6-year-old boy and the wounding of a 32-year-old woman. A suspect is in custody as police say it appears the victims were targeted for their Muslim faith. This is ABC News. A new study illustrating why some diabetes drugs have become so popular among people looking to lose weight. ABC's Brian Clark.
A new study suggests the weight loss hype around the drug Mounjaro is for real. During the study, people who were overweight lost at least a quarter of their body weight when they were injected with medication from the drug and combined it with intensive diet and exercise. Average weight loss was 60 pounds compared to a group of people who dieted and exercised but got placebo shots. That group lost weight initially but regained some of it. The research was published in the journal Nature Medicine and presented at a medical conference. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Florida lawmakers and education leaders from several states have taken what is likely to be the final tour of the building at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, where a gunman killed 17 people 5 years ago. The school building has remained closed and locked behind a fence since the shooting to preserve it as evidence. Now it's set to be demolished next summer. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy, it's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy, it's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's Friday, Dominic. You and I...
Happy Friday, man.
Well, you and I took the day off, in a matter of speaking. We each had our own business to take care of yesterday. At least I did. By the way, shout out to the Greene County, Wisconsin Dems. Had a great time with them. They served me some vegetarian soup. It's probably good for me.
Yeah, probably.
And some new Glarus beer and some good company. Excellent. Really enjoyed the company of the Greene County Dems. And I apparently mentioned that, and I've got my neighbors in Middleton. They're chasing me now. They're like, well, if you can go there, you can come to the Democratic right. Party function on November 12th at the park across from your house, can't you?
That'd be easy enough.
So I'll be over there on November 12th.
I was told there'd be cake.
I was told there'd be chili, actually. They said chili and cold beer. I said, I'm in. That's so I got that one on the calendar and doing a little fundraiser for the Walworth County Dems on November 4th. So look for Crudy at a speaking engagement near you sometime soon. We do weddings and bar mitzvahs. But Dom, you know, we air the grievances here on Friday and we got a fine guest coming up in the happy hour. Been far too long. Our friend Jim Santel, he's coming around to maybe give us a legal update on the Trump travails. And other topics, all topics open. But Jim, the host of the Morning Cannolis, Saturday mornings right here on the Civic Media Network, fine host, 9 to 11. Tune him in Saturday for the live show. And then Sunday, I'll give you a little bit of the reruns, the second helpings, if you will. But anyways, Jim joining us at the 5 o'clock hour, and also our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, checking in at the end of the show, going to give you a little bit of a sports update. But Dom, it is beyond disarray. The House is devolving into anarchy. The Republicans don't know what they're doing. So let's hear from the Democratic Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, about to speak in D.C. We're going to take you there live now. Play it for the people. They have a leader, the Dems.
Whip Clark, Chairman Aguilar, House Democrats, all those assembled, it's my honor and privilege to stand before you with the House Democratic Caucus, which has made clear from the very beginning of this Congress that we will put people over politics.
I can see your Congresswoman Gwen Moore to the right flank.
Do everything possible to find common ground whenever and wherever possible with our Republican colleagues in order to chart a bipartisan path forward to get things done for the American people. That's been our position from day one of this Congress, and it remains our position. Because we are here as members of the House of Representatives to make life better for everyday Americans, not play political games.
I don't think anyone told the Republican caucus that.
How do I make money doing that?
House Democrats will continue to fight for lower costs, better paying jobs, safer communities, reproductive freedom, defend democracy, fix our broken immigration system, protect the right to vote, and build an economy that works for everyday Americans from the middle out and the bottom up. And we want to find a bipartisan path to reopening the House of Representatives so we can solve problems for the American people.
Jim
and
Jordan.
Stand with our friends like Israel and Ukraine and others throughout the free world.
Jim Jordan is not that path forward.
But the House Republican Civil War continues to rage on, miring the Congress in chaos, dysfunction, and extremism. House Republicans have chosen to triple down on the chaos, triple down on the dysfunction, and triple down on the extremism. House Republicans have selected as their nominee to be the Speaker of the People's House, the chairman of the Chaos Caucus, a defender in a dangerous way of dysfunction, and an extremist extraordinaire. When we had a narrow majority under the last Congress, led by Speaker Pelosi in partnership with Senate Democrats under the leadership of President Joe Biden, we were able to pass bills to make a difference in the lives of the American people. House Democrats passed legislation to save the economy through the American Rescue Plan, by putting shots in arms, money in pockets, and kids back in school, and allow America to be reopened as the strongest economy of any in the developed world. House Democrats were able to pass the bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to fix our crumbling bridges, roads, tunnels, airports, our sewer and water systems, our mass transportation systems, and to ensure that there was high-speed internet access and clean water in every community. House Democrats, with our majority, were able to pass gun safety legislation for the first time in 30 years that will save lives. House Democrats were able to pass legislation to stand up for our veterans who were exposed to toxic substances, Agent Orange, and things to undermine their health, their safety, and well-being, and to provide millions of veterans with the health care they need to live the lives that they deserve.
The voice
House
you
Democrats
hear.
Were able to pass the CHIPS and Science Act to bring domestic manufacturing jobs back home to the United States of America. And House Democrats were able to pass the Inflation Reduction Act to strike a dramatic blow against the climate crisis, set our planet on a sustainable trajectory forward, lower energy costs, strengthen the Affordable Care Act, lower health care costs, and drive down the high price of life-saving prescription drugs for millions of Americans, including dropping the price of insulin from thousands of dollars a year to $35 a month for millions of Americans.
House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic Caucus President in D.C. at this hour.
Under a House Democratic majority. House Republicans have just elected a Speaker nominee who in 16 years in this Congress hasn't passed a single bill. because his focus has not been on the American people. His focus has been on peddling lies and conspiracy theories and driving division amongst the American people. House Republicans now have a choice. There are only two paths forward. On the one hand, House Republicans can continue to triple down on the chaos, the dysfunction, and the extremism that has been visited upon the American people as a result of the House Republican Civil War. On the other hand, traditional Republicans can break away from the extremism, partner with Democrats on an enlightened bipartisan path forward so we can end the recklessness and get back to doing the business of the American people. And Democrats are ready, willing, and able to get that done. Now my honor and privilege to yield to our distinguished.
That was Hakeem Jeffries. This is an interesting strategy. The Democrats going public, seeking some moderate partners because the Republicans, they're beyond disarray, Dom. They've devolved into anarchy. It's a civil war. He used that term at least a couple times.
To do with it, the Politico is reporting at this hour, four top centrist Democrats on Friday sent a pitch to acting Senator Patrick McHenry. Let's get the House working together again. In a letter to McHenry, which was obtained by Politico, Democrats told him they support giving him temporary expanded authorities that would allow the House to take up the most urgent bills, namely government funding plans. Specifically, the Democrats are proposing to let McHenry bring up any emergency aid for Ukraine or Israel, a short-term bill that extends government funding through January 11, or general consideration of fiscal 2024 spending bills. Those powers should be limited to 15-day increments they proposed, with extensions possible if the House GOP continues to remain without a leader. In exchange, the Democratic quartet suggested their party would be allowed to fill up 50% of the House suspension calendar, which is reserved for non-controversial bills and requires two-thirds votes for passage, not simple majorities. The letter led by Rep. Josh Gottheimer, is an olive branch to a sputtering House GOP that has reached its 10th day without a speaker. Republicans are actively discussing ways to empower McHenry to bring at least some bills to the floor, particularly related to government spending, though the idea has run into opposition among some conservatives. Democrats could be the key to unlocking further powers if GOP chooses to take them up on the offer. The next government funding deadline is November 17th. In the end, McHenry never opened the door to such cross aisle. McCarthy never opened the door to such cross aisle talks, opting instead to pass a stopgap funding bill with more Democrats than Republican votes, then getting ejected from the speakership. The ending quote here. In light of our nation's pressing issues, a looming government shutdown, and the attacks on our key ally, Israel, we strongly support an immediate vote to expand the Speaker pro tempore's authorities to allow for the consideration of a legislative agenda limited to the most pressing issues, the Democrats wrote in the letter.
It's a civil war, Dom. The Republicans, it's beyond disarray. The GOP has devolved into anarchy. It couldn't happen to a nicer party. Freddie Grievances, we air them here. Yours could be first or next. Unless you're CJ. You know you've been banned for the pumpkin month, CJ. Stop calling. We don't want you around here. Come back. 844-967-2789. Your call could be first if you ain't CJ.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 45. Northerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 54 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 39. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 55. 61 chance for scattered rain showers Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 45.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all, airing the grievances. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
The Republican Party has devolved into anarchy, Dom.
It's not even disarray anymore. I'm kind of sad. I've been saying disarray for like a year. Now it's got to be, it's anarchy.
You know, a Devil's Advocates party Tuesday night at the Jade Monkey will have more structure than the Republican yeah, House Caucus. Right. At least we'll have clear leadership and a purpose. We're there to have a good time with you. Do a live show between 4 and 6 p.m. And I'm serious. I want to meet some new faces, see some new people. Can't be the same old CJs lining up in the queue every day.
Oh, we love all the old people too. It's always a party. Everybody's welcome. But yes, if you have not yet been to the Devil's Advocates soiree, you got to come to the Jade Monkey on Tuesday.
Maybe the only party I do this year. Like, we're done partying. This could be the one, Tom. The one and only party. You know, at least in public at a bar, the Jade Monkey. It's the only party you need to know. Yes, Aaron.
I haven't been to the Jade Monkey. I also haven't been to a live show of the Devil's Advocates, at least outside the studio. So I think I'm going to have to go. Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Please come on down. You are cordially invited.
And Dom often gets naked. I'm just saying.
That's not true.
It's
I mean, I do often get naked, but usually not at the Jade Monkey.
Dom, House Republicans collapse into anarchy, according to Dana Milbank. Just the headline. The headline's a grabber. Dom, war in Israel, war in Ukraine, the federal government shutting down in 35 days. These are uncertain times. But there is one eternal truth, one unwavering constant to steady us when all else is in flux. Every time the House Republican majority tries to govern, it's guaranteed to turn into a goat rodeo.
A goat rodeo? I've never been to a goat rodeo.
It's hard to herd goats, I'll just say, Dom. Similar to the cats. And so happened again this week as Republicans tried to elect a new speaker to replace Kevin McCarthy, whom they deposed of in a coup the previous week. As the conference gathered on Tuesday night to hear from the speaker candidates, Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan, Harriet Hageman, and Trump-backed slayer of Liz Cheney walked into the caucus meeting wearing a big smile and carrying a lasso. Was she planning to rope some goats? She didn't say. A moment later, Rep. Nancy Mace, one of the 8 Republicans who voted out McCarthy, strolled into the caucus meeting with a big red A decal on her T-shirt. "I'm wearing the scarlet letter," she explained to a group of us. "After the week I just had last week, being a woman up here and being demonized for my vote," in her telling, wearing the 17th century mark of the adulteress showed that "I'm going to do the right thing every single time." Dom, there was little time to dwell on Mace's bold reinterpretation of Hawthorne. However, because the defrocked McCarthy himself soon emerged from the caucus meeting, which he quit after leading the opening prayer, recognizing that he had a captive audience in the 140 or so journalists crowding the hallway. He gave a 13-minute news conference repeating the same thoughts about Israel he'd offered in the news conference the day before. Yeah, no new ideas, Tom, but tell him again and tell him what you told him, Kevin. Now, sadly, the former speaker's oration was interrupted by the arrival of Patrick Mahendri. We've just been talking about him. He's the speaker pro temp, right? The interim speaker. Mr. Speaker, some journalist shouted, trying to ask McCarthy questions. Mr. Speaker, other journalists shouted a moment later, trying to ask McHenry questions. The confusion was all the greater because neither man was actually the speaker. Republicans didn't have one of those.
It's McAnarchy.
Dom, no sooner had that commotion quieted than a new one erupted while the Republican members were meeting. Authorities had just unsealed additional charges against Rep. George Santos, alleging he stole the identities of his campaign donors, used their credit cards, and swindled the Republican Party. The famous fabricator was besieged by shouting reporters when he exited the caucus meeting. Did you steal people's identities? Will you resign? I did not have access to my phone, Santos pleaded. I have no clue what you're talking about. This was plausible, for intra-party distrust has grown so intense that members had to check their phones at the door. Reporters and TV crews chased Santos back to his office, crashing into furniture in the hallway. How can you vote for the speaker election, asked CNN's Manu Raju, when you've been charged with all these crimes? Santos, Dom, slammed his office door in Raju's face. That doesn't seem quite respectful.
Crudy, this was going well. Scalise, the majority leader, emerged from the caucus meeting full of confidence that he would win the speakership the next day. We need a Congress that's working tomorrow, he said. His colleagues were not so sure. What are the chances we have a speaker tomorrow? A reporter asked Rep. Thomas Massey, a Republican from Kentucky. Massey, in his 11th year in Congress, responded with a long pause as if calculating the odds in his head. 2%, he answered. 2%? Why 2%? After another long pause, it's just the way things are going for us, Massey replied. His handicapping was spot on. Republicans narrowly tapped Scalise to be speaker at another meeting on Wednesday. He got 113 votes on a secret ballot, while Jordan and another candidate got 107. Applause sounded in the conference room at 103 p.m. when the tally was announced, and Scalise, rushing to build momentum, called for a speaker vote on the House floor at 3 p.m.
Hey, Dominic. Now, 5 of the 6 Wisconsin congressional Republicans, they were back in Scalise. But one guy wasn't. And it was your buddy Fitzgerald, Scott Fitzgerald. He said this. This is being reported over at the Journal Sentinel. Want to make sure I get it right. My problem is, if you don't have the votes, we ain't going to the floor. So there's no reason for me to necessarily commit if it's going to be somebody else that's going to the floor. The people that aren't there are never going to get there, Fitzgerald told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The sad part, Fitzy was right. And Scalise, he was out. And it has become anarchy. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. It's the Friday edition. I take a little glee in the Republican anarchy. You could as well. 844-96-PARTY. Come back with us.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. More than a million people have fled their homes in the Gaza Strip over the past week as water supplies dwindle and hospitals warn they're on the verge of collapse. This is as the enclave's population awaits an expected invasion. ABC's Matt Gutman on Israeli troops readying near the Gaza border.
They have troops arrayed all over the place. It's hundreds of thousands with many hundreds of Bradley fighting vehicles, tanks. There's artillery planted in almost every field. Soldiers behind almost every concrete block.
Inside Gaza, food, water, and fuel are scarce. Aid agencies are pleading for a humanitarian corridor to open to let people out. Here in the U.S., authorities in Illinois say the war between Israel and Hamas appears to be behind the stabbing death of a 6-year-old boy and the wounding of a 32-year-old woman. A suspect is in custody as police say it appears the victims were targeted for their Muslim faith. This is ABC News.
Trunk or treat, I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community, the talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a smile on my face, Dom. Republicans burning down the house. I requested the song a couple times this week, and as Aaron, who's helping us out, well, they keep doing it, we'll keep playing it. And you can join this little political party. It's a Friday. We air the grievances up around here. 844-967-2789. We'll get to you in just a minute, people. Dom, when we left off, I believe Scalise didn't have the votes and had walked away from the now chaotic disarray, which has devolved into anarchy over on the House side. A little bit more here. Just a few more tidbits from Dana Milbank at the Washington Post. Finally, the day of disarray ended in farce. Santos, facing renewed calls for his expulsion from the House, delivered one more blow to Scalise because Scalise hadn't reached out to the indicted liar. I'm now declaring I'm anyone but Scalise, and come hell or high water, I won't change my mind, he wrote. We need a speaker that leads by including every single member of the team, even aspiring felons. Now, Scalise, seeing his speakership slip away before it even began, said about doing what McCarthy had done in January, placating to the hardliners. Well, that doesn't ever work, Tom. What happened? So anyways, we know the Republican week of mayhem and madness began with the former Speaker McCarthy offering himself as the future Speaker McCarthy. Last weekend, Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel said on Fox News that Hamas attack on Israel was a great opportunity for Republicans.
Oh, my God.
That didn't age well. McCarthy on Monday attempted to seize that supposed opportunity, accusing Biden of appeasement and left-wing Democrats of anti-Semitism. We have not understood the moment in life we are living, McCarthy asked. But the real purpose for this moment in life was to dangle the possibility that he would return as Speaker. Though he had previously said he wasn't running, he now said, I'm going to allow the conference to do their work. The conference decides that. Didn't they decide they didn't like you? They threw the Speaker race into more confusion in a caucus meeting on Monday night in the Capitol basement. Rep. Carlos Jimenez, Florida, and a couple of others said they would only support McCarthy for Speaker. Others used the gathering, the first since the day Republicans ousted McCarthy, to direct their fury on those that led the queue. A coup, that is, Dom. Matt Gaetz is frankly a vile person, said Rep. Michael Lawler. You know, two reporters outside the room, he's saying this publicly. They're saying it aloud, Dom. Inside over a barbecue dinner, one lawmaker reportedly called the anti-McCarthy eight chicken. Let's just say crap, Dom. They're just venting, said Rep. Tim Burchett from Tennessee, one of the eight. He said he wouldn't budge on McCarthy and called the process to find a new speaker, like junior high school. I don't think they really have demonstrated the maturity of tweeners, no, Dom. Man, I mean,
they got to get their phones taken away, just like the junior high school kids do.
Dom, there's a whole week of disarray laid out here. Let's see if we can bring some conclusion to this mess. Wednesday opened with cursing and shouting even before the Republicans returned to the Longworth building to choose a speaker candidate. At a briefing for lawmakers on the war in Israel, Rep. Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own Dom, we've got some sound from him, by the way, who recently made news for launching an obscene tirade at teenagers serving as Senate pages, launched an obscene tirade at the Biden administration officials giving the briefing. And the shouting was only beginning. Santos called a few reporters into the office inexplicably. I was not one of them, says Dana Milbank, to deliver a Mr. T-style rejoinder to colleagues threatening to oust them. They could try to expel me, but I pity the fools that go ahead and do that. He literally said in his quote, I pity the fools.
Pity the fool. What's your prediction, Santos?
Pain.
Dom,
entering the caucus meeting, increasingly cranky lawmakers again had their phones confiscated. They were put in manila envelopes, piled haphazardly into yellow plastic boxes. Texas's Chip Roy offered a proposal designed to avoid a repeat of Republicans' January debacle by requiring them to have 217 votes for their speaker nominee before they went to the floor. Now, Scalise's allies roundly defeated that proposal. An hour later, Scalise had won the nomination with a slender majority, and his team tried to railroad Jordan supporters, made plans to go straight to the floor. The leader of the coup against McCarthy, Gaetz, pronounced himself thrilled. Long live Speaker Scalise, he cried. How'd that one age?
Oh, wow.
But Speaker Scalise didn't make it to the floor on Wednesday. Trump, who had endorsed Jordan, did nothing to help Scalise. And by various accounts, McCarthy was privately undermining his old rival by encouraging support for Jordan. The House Freedom Caucus met to discuss the matter, and more members announced opposition to Scalise. On Thursday, McHenry opened the day session and immediately declared another recess. Back in the House basement that afternoon,
that job sucks.
Republicans entered yet another caucus meeting while rumors swirled. Rep. Greg Stubbe from Florida told reporters he had heard incorrectly from a MAGA outlet, OAN, that Scalise had dropped out of the running. Rep. Troy Neal said if Republicans hadn't elected a speaker by Sunday, they should bring in the closer, Trump, to serve as speaker. And exasperated, Rep. Dusty Johnson, chairman of the moderate Main Street Caucus, complained to us about colleagues refusing to do your damn job. Mike Rogers, Alabama, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, called his colleagues who ousted McCarthy, well, here's the term he used, Tom, traitors.
Ooh,
And inside the room, Republicans resumed their fencing. Rep. Mark Alford from Missouri told reporters it was marriage therapy. We're celebrating our diversity. Is that what they're doing, Dom?
According
to Rep. Brad Winstrup of Ohio, everything's at gridlock, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's not a good look for the Republican conference. Dom, as the meeting broke, lawmakers raged against their own incompetence. If you see smoke, it's not a speaker. Someone just set the place on fire, according to Rep. Ronnie Jackson. That's Dr. Feelgood. Wasn't that the doctor? Anyways.
Yes, that was Trump's doctor.
This is the worst team I've ever been on, according to Rep. Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania. Even George Santos couldn't lie about the grim state of affairs for the GOP. It was a waste of time, he complained, like every single meeting we've had. Now, after 10 wasted days, the Republicans must start all over again. 844-967-2789.
The Anarchy Conference, man. The Anarchy Republicans. It's beyond disarray. Disarray, they left that a long time ago.
844-967-2789. Let's get to the audience. John Stanley, how you been? Understand there's a little progressive caucus event going on tomorrow in Green Lake.
Hey, John.
Hi. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, I'm talking about a better caucus, a much better caucus than any Republican caucus. We're having the Progressive Caucus Summit up in Green Bay from 9 to 4:30 tomorrow. Lunch and admission are free. Our guest speakers will be John Nichols, Representative Hong, Francesca Hong will be joining us. She'll be speaking to Bernie's bill, the Economic Bill of Freedom, of Rights. And we will be having other guest speakers as well, including Alex Lazary as the DNC rep, the new DNC rep. And it should be a lot of fun.
John, let's clarify the venue site, because we've got you up at Green Lake, but perhaps you said Green Bay, I thought I heard.
Nope, Green Lake, and we will be at the high school on Mill Street.
Green Lake High School on Mill Street for the Progressive Caucus. What time does the event start tomorrow, John?
It starts at 9 and it ends at 4:30.
9 to 4:30.
John, where people want to find it, they want to see directions, details, where can they go online to get that?
Well, they could just look up the Green Lake High School in Green Lake. There's only one Green Lake High School. and it's on Mill Street. It's unfortunately, I'm on the road and I don't have the directions with me, but
right,
Google it. It's on the Mill Street in Green Lake at the Green Lake High School.
Appreciate it, John. Appreciate you listening and appreciate what you're doing. Progressive Caucus. It's worth the Google in Green Lake. Dom, you're familiar with that area?
I sure am. Yes. We got a little rental place up there. Love Green Lake. Awesome place. Fun people.
When do you get to go to Green Lake, Dom?
Not too often. I think next week I'm going to go.
Well, you could go tomorrow for the Progressive Caucus. And while you're on your way up there, you could listen to the Badger game. While the Badgers play later in the afternoon, play in Iowa tomorrow, Dom. We're going to have our own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, join us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. But I would just point out, not only can you hear it on the radio, WFHR, that's 1320 AM in North Central Wisconsin, WRJN 1400 AM in the Milwaukee Metro, WRCE, Richland Center, that's 1450 AM and 107.7 FM, and up in WLAK land, 1260 AM. But you can stream the Badgers. You can take them with in your pocket, get the Civic Media app, and then call the Devil's Advocates at 844-967-2789. Looks like we've got Nick Ramos calling in from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Welcome, Nick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Nick.
Good, Dom. How are you guys?
Excellent, good, sir. Man.
Well, I just want to say I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, big fan of Devil's Advocate. Appreciate the work that you guys do. You know, on Friday the 13th of all days, you know, I've been sitting here thinking about what I was going to do with my weekend, and then all of a sudden we had our Senate announce that they are going, our state Senate going to announce that they are going to have a public hearing on the redistricting bill that has been
a real thorn in the side of many pro-democracy organizations. And so we've been just trying to get the word out about this upcoming Thursday. They are hosting a public hearing at the Capitol on October 19th at 9 a.m. in room 411 South. We want to try and get people to actually get an opportunity to go on the record and have their voices heard, because in the assembly, they railroaded this thing through. I mean, they announced the bill. 48 hours later, they voted on it. Now we finally get an opportunity for the public and Wisconsinites to be able to weigh in and share what they feel about something that's going to shape our maps and shape, you know, the way resources and our electeds are going to be representing us. And so just want to get that out there. I hope to get other opportunities to hang out with you guys.
Nick, let's clarify for just a minute. The hearing, is that on the supposed Iowa model or the bastardized version of the Iowa model that the assembly Republicans took up? Of course, it's the Iowa model right up until the point where the Republicans get to take control over the outcomes if they don't like the maps, which isn't exactly the Iowa model. But is this the specific legislation that the public hearing is next Thursday at 9 a.m., sir?
Yes, sir. So they have taken, so this is the companion bill to the AB 415, which is that, in your very eloquent words, you know, they say it's the Iowa model, and it most definitely is not, unfortunately, you know. So they've taken it up this Thursday, and we want to make sure people show up and show out, because there's no way that this bill, as it is right now, should be voted on. It is a bad piece of legislation, and they're rushing it through. They're not giving anybody an opportunity to be able to give feedback and for them to even consider that feedback.
And Nick, do you think this is preemptive, of course, to try and get ahead of the Wisconsin Supreme Court that could have a ruling that overturns the existing maps?
It sure feels that way. I mean, it feels like a real desperate attempt to avoid the Supreme Court from seeing it. And so we want them to slow this thing down.
Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Are you the new director over there? Are you the new Matt Rothschild?
I am the new Matt, but, you know, I'm the Puerto Rican black version of Matt. But we're going to do a lot of really exciting things, and I hope to be able to join you guys on future calls for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick.
Well, Nick, we called him Batman, but we'll have to moniker you. If you show up for the party Tuesday at the Jade Monkey and come party with us, by the end of the night, sir, you'll also have a nickname. I feel quite confident.
Nick, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for the update, Senate hearing at the Capitol next Thursday, 9 a.m. Make your voices heard, Wisconsin. And come back. We air the grievances right here on the Devil's Advocates. You can always make your voices heard. Dial us up, 844-967-2789.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies, overnight with lows around 44. Northerly winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 54. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. 39 tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Mid-50s Tuesday, turning warmer Wednesday, with highs in the low 60s and scattered showers possible. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 45 overnight. We should top out at 54 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 43.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all, airing the grievances. You can do so at 844-967-2789. I got one right now, man. What's my march-up music here, man?
Well, at least it's Tracy Chapman and not some country fella.
Oh, come on.
There's like the country guys on the top of the charts this song.
No, come on, man.
Dom, I'm trying to
know me. Don't you know me, man?
I'm trying to set a thematical tone here, and you're undermining it a bit.
A different song. Okay, well, please go ahead.
I don't know if there's time to give proper hearing to this topic, but anyways, want to give it a try, and you can air your grievances here. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court has dropped their first panel ruling since Janet Protasiewicz joined the court. Happened today. 4-3 decision. Write down ideological lines. And the topic was eviction records. Wisconsin eviction records to be taken down after 2 years. The court has now ruled, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Again, this is the first ruling that Protasiewicz took part in, Dom. The court, according to reporting at the Cap Times, the court voted 4-3 along ideological lines. Again, the Good Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, Karofsky, and Protasiewicz in support, and the Bad Bradley, Ziegler, and Hagedorn against the change. In the midst of controversy over recusals and talk of impeachment, the vote marks the High Court's first policy ruling as a full body since Protasiewicz was sworn in August 1st. The newly elected justice vowed Friday not to recuse herself on a pair of cases targeting the state's legislative maps. We've talked about that quite a bit here, Dom. Legal Action of Wisconsin, a nonprofit that provides free legal services to low-income people, requested the High Court reconsider the retention period for eviction records, arguing it would help more Wisconsin families find and maintain safe and affordable rental housing. Now, Dom, under the old rules, small claim records, including eviction records, were being retained by the courts for 20 years. And on this 4-3 ruling, and it was my understanding, Dallet said, well, you know, there might still be some logistical stuff for clerks to work through, but they'll find a way. But the court ruled effectively that these things, these eviction records, should be eradicated after 2 years. And I got to tell you, I feel strange in saying this, Tom, but I disagree with this, the very first ruling of this Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you know, I've got a background as a real estate property manager. And there were times that I did have to use the small claims court and the eviction process. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, I didn't relish those moments. I gave my customers, my tenants, every opportunity to make remedy. Hell, if they got fired, you know what I mean? If a guy gets fired and he can't make his rent anymore and he calls his landlord and says, oh man, I got to move home. I got to do what I got to do. You know what? That's not going to end up as an eviction on that guy's record. We're going to make some sort of financial settlement.
Well, maybe if you're a benevolent landlord or property manager, that would happen. And if you're not, it's an eviction on the record and sue for the money and leave it on the record till he gets the new job. And then he can garnish the wages.
Well, the small claims aspect is not changed. If there was a small claims judgment against someone, you would have to make a financial disclosure. And if able, you'd have to make some sort of reimbursement, even through garnishment of wages. But the period of time in which the eviction stays on the public record, Dom, 20 years, that's pretty freaking harsh. 2 years, that's not long enough, to my humble opinion. As a guy who used to have to evaluate people's credit.
But again, I have to look, again, to what end? You know, as quoted here, when families have an eviction on their record, it often means they're forced into higher cost and lower quality housing, increasing the likelihood of future eviction. By removing the record of an eviction filing sooner, we hope more Wisconsin families will be able to find secure, safe, and affordable housing at reasonable costs, thus improving their family stability. 2 years is a long time, Crudy, man. I mean, if we look at what were we doing 2 years ago? We're in a whole different world right now than we were 2 years ago. You know what I mean? I mean, literally, all across all sorts of ways, from the pandemic, you know, financially, career-wise. I mean, 2 years is a long, long time. And if that's something like that stays on your record for too long, what? You get jacked, you get higher rates, you get worse housing. I mean, yeah, 20 years, absolutely not. 2 years seems fine to me. And I get it. You've been on that side of a recruiting, but have you ever been, you know, on the other side where you lost the job or you had issues and you got an eviction? Do you want something like that tailing you for 20 years?
I can tell you, if bad financial stuff happens to you in your life, it does trail you in public records in different ways. Of course, no one wants that track record. No one wants to be punished for sometimes things beyond their control, a loss of job. You know, maybe someone in the family is lost their health. I understand why evictions happen. But I can tell you from my own personal perspective, Dom, they don't have to devolve into an eviction process that utilizes the courts. That usually, to me, seems like someone that gave up trying to communicate with their landlord or their property management firm, because you don't have to evict someone that leaves of their own volition. You may have a small claim settlement against them. You may have to go seek reimbursement, whatever, they get a job again and can pay you back. But that's different than evicting someone. Evicting someone, to me, that was a last resort. That was someone that quit returning my phone calls. That was someone that didn't respond to the letters. That was someone that stopped being a citizen. Stop being responsible. I mean, people can't control financial hardship, but they can control how they react to it. And I can tell you, there are plenty of landlords that would give their tenants a break with proper communication. But if you make me drag your ass into court, that eviction, that last desperate act of a landlord that has to get a tenant out, per the experience I had, I can't speak to every human being's eviction throughout their life. I'm sure some have been railroaded and shafted in life, but that wasn't my experience. To me, it was someone that had stopped playing nice. It was someone that had stopped communicating. I didn't fault them for losing their job. I faulted them for not making some arrangement to move out. I would ask them, hey, when can you get out? Well, I don't get paid for 2 more weeks. Well, don't tell me it's sooner than that, because you can't afford a U-Haul till then. But in 2 weeks, can you afford a U-Haul? Can you afford to move back to mom and dad's house? Yeah, I'll do that. Keep your word. Guess what? It's never going on your record. It's never going to turn into an eviction action.
Corey London, the staff attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin, said the change would address systemic inequities. Our petition highlighted the disparate impact eviction records have on renters of color and their families. The court changing this rule is a good first step towards improving the lives of renters throughout Wisconsin. No other court record impacts the basic human need in the way that evictions do. We're only asking that the state not be the one to put this information out there. There are plenty of private market solutions to this that landlords have come up with.
Meaning it could affect credit in some other way. It doesn't have to be a public record. I would say 3 to 5 years is a more appropriate time frame, but that's just one guy's opinion. Come back. We got a really smart former U.S. attorney and a friend of ours. He's James Antel. He is always right with his opinions, to my opinion.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players.
We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media app.